I debated whether I should continue the Lord's Prayer, but then it was like, why not? Because this has everything to do with the Lord, and I know it's Palm Sunday. And I believe that this prayer fits and relates to the Easter story. And today the verse that we want to focus on is Matthew 6, verse 13, the first part. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Other translations also say, deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? And how was he involved with Christ trying to prevent Christ from dying on the cross? Christ was familiar with temptation. When he began his earthly ministry after baptism, he departed, and it says that the Spirit, that means the Spirit of God, led him into the desert. And I want you to pay attention about the word leading or led or lead. Lead us not into temptation. We often pray, Lord, lead me and guide me. Lead me in your righteousness, the psalmist says. Lead me in all truth. The Spirit of God wants to lead us in all truth. And we always pray that the Lord leads us into something better, into something more glorious than what we have. But here is a prayer that's kind of negative. It says, lead us not into temptation. Lead me not where I shouldn't go. Lead me not into situations that I may not be able to get out of without sinning or without violating your commands. The temptation and the victory in the Garden of Gethsemane stands in history as a foundational truth for us to live a life of victory. And of faith. As we follow Christ, we have to need to remember that Jesus was not only battling with our weight of sin and guilt in Gethsemane, but he was battling death. As we read that his sweat turned into drops of blood, he fought for us in prayer. He was greatly tempted. What are some of the things that we believe Jesus really meant when he said, thus you shall pray, lead us not into temptation? I think some of the things is like, Father, please keep temptation away from me. Wouldn't it be nice to go through life as believers without having any temptations? It would actually not be realistic, would it? But I think we may pray, Father, don't let Satan lead us into temptation. Watch and pray that temptation doesn't come near you. That you don't fall into temptation, Jesus said. Wouldn't that be nice if we could pray, Father, make me temptation proof. Make me temptation exempt. That I go through life without ever being tempted. Now, some of us, we may try to act like we never have temptations. Like a pastor should never have temptations, should he? Pastor is above temptations, right? The pastor is between heaven and earth. The feet is just above earth, about this high. Doesn't touch the ground. No, we're not without temptation. I think there lies a problem in the phrase, lead us not into temptation. There was a young woman that was seen in a shopping mall, and she had a t-shirt on that said, and a lot of t-shirts say stuff. Young people love to do that. And the t-shirt read, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find the way myself." Now there's a profound truth in this. I don't have to be led into temptation, I can do it myself. I can really get myself into a lot of trouble. Now she may have worn it as a laugh, but I think this is a prayer that is rather negative, but has a positive outcome. And I think we would like to maybe change this prayer in that we say, "Help us to overcome temptation." Wouldn't that be better? "Lord, help me to overcome temptation." But no, Jesus says, "Lead us not into temptation." Let's stay with those words. "Lord, lead us not into temptation." Again, it doesn't say me personally, it does say all of us. Now, as a body of Christ, if we pray this as us, as Jesus says it here, we include that we would not be tempted, and that the church would stay unified, that the body of Christ would not suffer because of the evil in this world, that we would have our spiritual integrity together and our relationship to God would not be marred or interrupted. That is very important. Now, I read about a Jewish woman in a restaurant in New York that bragged about the young man that her daughter was going to marry. And she's described this young man with three words. Basically, one word. He is not objectionable. So I looked up the word objectionable. It means he is not causing people to be offended. I thought, wow, that's profound. That's a character description of a man that has character. He is not objectionable. So we would like to pray, "Lord, help me not to be objectionable." I think that's included. "Lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from temptation." And temptations come in all forms. You know that temptation comes. We know that temptation comes mainly through Satan, because "deliver us from evil" includes the evil one. But Satan can act as an angel of light. And as an angel of light, he can tempt us with very, very attractive words and thoughts that are not of God, though. It is praying that we will not be tempted. We are asking, "Don't let the evil one," that's referred to in this sentence and the next one, "don't let the evil one catch us in his trap." If the opportunities to sin present themselves, grant that I won't have the desire to do it. If the desire to sin springs up within me, grant me that I won't have the opportunity. Because here is how sin happens. Here is how we fall into temptation. First, there's a desire out of the sinful nature, And second, if desire meets opportunity, boom, sin is born. Desire and opportunity. You can read it up in James. It's all in there. This petition reminds us of what we might easily forget. We seldom want to be delivered from temptation. We want to be delivered from evil. But if God could find a way that we are so dead to sin, we can't lust with our eyes, we can't desire things that don't belong to us, like greed and stuff, that we have no temptation to lie or be dishonest, wouldn't you think that it's good that basically God can make temptation neutral, that it doesn't bother us anymore? Now, let me give examples. If someone was bound to alcoholism, and this person could never pass a bar or a liquor store without stepping in and having something. But now God took that away. God took the desire of all liquor away from him, that he can no longer even imagine that he could go back there and he can pass by the bar without any temptation. That, I believe, is remove temptation. That means work in my heart such a way that these temptations don't attract me anymore. Demagnetize me, basically, to what is against your word. That I have no desire, that I have no magnet towards sinning on being disobedient to God. That I can say with Joseph, you remember when he was tempted? And he was a young man full of hormones. Sorry, I have to say that. But it was a woman tempting him. And he said, how can I do such great evil and sin against my God? Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Wouldn't you agree that in a way God had led Joseph into temptation? No. Here's where we come to the source of temptation. God can never tempt us to sin, ever. If a voice inside your head says to do something that is against God, that is against better knowledge, that voice is never from God. It's from the enemy or our own nature. Why did Jesus instruct us to pray, lead us not into temptation, when God states that he does not tempt us at all? In James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So, underline that in your Bible. God will not tempt us to sin. Does God allow sin? Does God allow temptation? We know that is true. Temptation can be a cause of our own foolishness and carelessness, and of our own sinful nature. We can sometimes be so excited about something, or we want to correct somebody, we want to do this, we want to do that, and in the spur of the moment, we say or do things that gets us in trouble. So what is up with that? Let me read on what James says about temptation. Blessed is a man who endures temptation. Now, he doesn't say that a man will not have temptation, but who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. So he talks about the testings. If our faith is real, when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Aha, here is a key. Those who love him, there is a key to overcome temptations. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God did this. I've heard someone say, well, God made me this way, and this is why I live a sinful, promiscuous life, because God just made me this way. This is who I am. And that's not true. If we are what? Born again, God creates a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, everything becomes new. Oswald Chambers comments on this, and he writes this: the word temptation has come to mean something bad to us today, but we tend to use the word in the wrong way. Temptation itself is not sin. It is something we are bound to face simply by virtue of being human. Not to be tempted would mean that we were already so shameful and we would be beneath contempt. Yet many of us suffer from temptations we should never have to suffer, simply because we have refused to allow God to lift us to a higher level where we would face temptations of another kind. In other words, he says, we will never be without temptations, but let's not cause it ourselves. Let's not be so spiritually immature that we struggle with things that God did not intend for us to struggle with. And have you noticed that sometimes we struggle with things that we think, well, we should have been long past this. This should have been long way back into our history. We should be way higher spiritually than we're now. So when Jesus prays, I believe that this prayer includes that he is with this, and this is the positive aspect of lead us not into temptation. That doesn't mean that he leaves us empty, that he just won't lead us there because we can't handle it. No, he wants to make us strong, but we ask God, help me to avoid that sinful nature, to be obedient to the sinful nature, and help me to stay away from everything that displeases you. God wants to lead his people. And Psalm 139, and this is so important for this Easter week, as we approach Good Friday, as we approach Easter Sunday, we need to pray this with the psalmist. Psalm 139, we can read that whole chapter. See if there is any wicked way in me. And I think this is part of the prayer that we pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. Deliver us from all evil. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, help my focus to be away from anything that is wicked, and help me to focus on you, so that temptations will not become constant stumbling blocks in my fellowship with God. Lead us not into, meaning permitting or to allow. This phrase then must be understood in the sense of permitting. Jesus taught us to pray, don't allow permit us to be tempted to sin. There's many trials we have to go through, but do not let Satan have any power over me. And I want to briefly touch on afflictions, trials, and temptations, because sometimes we get confused about what is real temptation and what is more like an affliction, affliction that we go through when we suffer physically or mentally or emotionally in other ways than just the spiritual attacks from the enemy. There are trials that we go through. Everyday life throws so many trials at us. You know, like someone told me this week, you know, my wife had an accident, and, you know, it's not a big deal. She wasn't injured or all that, but it's such a hassle. You know, it's so trying because we have to report it now, and we have to have it fixed, and we have to do this, have to do that. It's such a hassle when you even have the smallest accident. Life throws it at us. But the Bible has also examples of how to deal and how not to deal with temptations. And I want to close with this morning, since we are pressed for time. 1 Corinthians 10 is a very, very good example of Israel. And I want to read several verses there, starting from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of all our fathers, meaning Israel. They were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Let me pause here for a moment. All of them enjoy the same privileges. All of them received the same bread of life, the Word of God, received the presence of God, experienced the cloud and the fire, the pillar of fire at night. They all experienced the same thing, he says here. Let's keep that in mind as we read on. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Now, when you read this description, it's actually the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," didn't apply to Israel somehow, because they became the very temptations. They became subject to Satan and his corruption, and corrupted themselves and others because they didn't follow the rock, which was Christ, and Moses pointed them to Christ, but they didn't believe him. And then he goes on in verse 10, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. If we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," I think it would sometimes be fitting to say, "Lord, help me not to complain today." Okay? That would help a great deal. Help me not to be a miserable person today. Help me not to be grumpy today. Okay, that's a good way to pray. Lead me not into temptation. Don't let my life be ruled by how I feel, but be ruled by what I believe in Jesus Christ. Then verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him, now here's another thing, if we're proud and we're so solid in our faith, and oh yes, you know, I am living in victory every day from morning till morning, sun up and sun down, I am living in victory. I never have a temptation. I'm never down. That is a fable, if you will. That's not real life. But here, therefore, let him who thinks he stands be careful. Be careful. Don't become too self-confident. Be careful lest you fall. And then verse 13, and this is where I want to close with. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. If you are tempted, that means others have been tempted in the same area somewhere along the line. Nothing new. For us, it may be new. For others, not. For God, it's certainly not new. But God is faithful. And here's the thing. We can pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. Keep me away from evil and keep evil away from me. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able. Now here's the word allow or permit. God is watching exactly over every temptation that you and I go through, and he measures it. He says, not this temptation. He would fall with this one. We have to give him more grace so he can overcome this one here. God gives grace in those areas that we're tempted in because he's faithful. And he, with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to what? To bear it. In other words, God tells us, you will survive, but be persistent. God will provide a way. Trust him on that. If you're constantly tempted, if every day the tempter comes, rebuke him in the name of Jesus because Jesus is stronger. He died on the cross. And sometimes Satan has to be reminded by us that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took care of my sin and my guilt and also the grace to overcome temptation. So I hope we learned something out of this lesson. There's so much more to be said, but time is short, so I want to leave it at that. If you are tempted today, if you live a life of defeat, don't give up. The only one that will be pleased if you give up is the enemy. He will be happy if you give up. Don't please him. He's our enemy. He doesn't seek your best. He wants to destroy you because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that we would have life and we would have it more abundantly. Trust the Lord that you will say no to every sin, that you will stand fast and firm in every temptation. That's my prayer for myself and for all of us. Let's stand for prayer. Amen. Yeah.